And Steve back. And she's still smiling. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Bibles, turn with me to 1 Samuel 17. Many of you may know what this chapter is, and I've many times preached out of this, and I've preached often out of just the whole chapter, but we're just going to look at a few verses this morning. 1 Samuel 17. And we're going to begin reading at verse 32. And this morning's title of the sermon is Confessions of a Giant Killer. Do we have any giant killers in the church this morning? Well, I'm glad Karen raised her hand. Do we have any giant killers in the church this morning? All right. You know, you are either a giant killer or you are a victim of the giant. There is no in-between. Because the devil plays for keeps, and the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. That's right. And so, Confessions of a Giant Killer, 1 Samuel 17. I'm going to just go ahead and read through our text, and then we're going to go back through these verses a little at a time. 1 Samuel 17, 32. Of course, this is the story of David and Goliath. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him," talking about the giant. "Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took the lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it, and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by the beard, and struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Isn't that powerful? Now, this is not the actual battle. You can read that on your own. This is the confession of the giant killer. And I have said it before, long before we fight the devil, we win it or lose it by the power of our tongue. Amen. Our confession is our greatest weapon against the wiles of the devil. So we're going to look at these seven attributes of or confessions of a giant killer. And I hope that we will remind ourselves, and I'm including myself in that, that we will have what we say and we need to watch what we confess. Amen? Now the first thing he said in verse 32 is, "I will go out and fight." I will go out and fight. The first attribute of a giant killer when he confesses is courage. God is looking for men and women who are courageous. I mean courageous, not faint-hearted. You know, in the Old Testament, when God told Moses and Joshua about picking men to go to war, one of the things that they did is that if they were faint-hearted, just send them on home. We don't want them in our army. Can you imagine being in a foxhole with a guy and the enemy starts shooting and he runs? That doesn't do much for you when your buddy's supposed to have your back, right? And you know, we are to have each other's back, aren't we? You know, we're in the same war. We fight the same devil, and we don't want to have inward eyes and only be worried about me and my four. When we come to church, we are to fight the enemy, not only for ourselves, but for our brothers and sisters. We are to be men and women who are courageous. And so our confession will, "Well, if the Lord's will, I will go to church, or I will pray, or I will give, or I will fight." No, he said, "I will go out and fight." Now, he didn't even show up to fight. He showed up to deliver some bread to his brothers. But nobody else is fighting, and somebody needs to do it. Is there not a cause? And there is a cause. We are at war with the devil. Jesus said that the works I do, you shall do also. You will take up serpents. Now, we're not one of those churches that that handles snakes. We understand that if you guys want to play church and play with snakes, that's your business. But I'd rather handle the devil, wouldn't you? I'd rather grab him by the throat than some old cotton mouth or copperhead. That doesn't prove anything except you're stupid, if you ask me. You know, I mean, I'm here to fight the devil. I will go out and fight. Say it with me. I will go out and fight. You know, the first thing out of David's mouth was, you know, these guys aren't going to do it. And these guys over here are too scared. And my own brothers aren't doing it. So might as well be me. Amen. Might as well be me. And, you know, sometimes we think, well, that's the pastor's job. You know, well, it is the pastor's job. But it's not just the pastor's job. It's all of our jobs. You know, if one sends 1,000 to flight, do the math, 2, 10,000. I like those numbers, amen? Now, if you got a dollar for everyone you send to flight, you might be more motivated to go to war. Amen? Well, $10,000 is in it for me, I'll go. You know, but we are not carnal, but spiritual. We understand it's not about money, it's not about how I look. It's about having victory over my enemies. And my enemy, Jesus said, comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And so if I don't go out to fight, I lose by default. And he will steal my confession. That's the first thing he does. Well, I don't know. I'm just poor and just need holding on till the Lord comes, right? That's all you know, some of those old timers, that was their confession, right? Well, you don't know what I've been through. Hey, we've all been through the fire, amen? But the way I read it, you go through the fire and you don't get burned. You'll walk through the flood and it will not overcome you. For great is the Lord our God, amen? Amen? So I'm going out to fight. Who's with me? All right, so that's number one, courage. In verse 34, he said, I keep my father's sheep. You see, one of the reasons each of us have problems with the devil is because each of us are not praying for each other enough. We got our own problems and we get so inwardized thinking about what I'm dealing with, we don't even think about what he's dealing with or what she's dealing with or what the pastor's dealing with or what the praise and worship leader is dealing with, or anybody else. But he said, I keep my father's sheep. Remember Cain and Abel, am I my brother's keeper? Well, I got news for you. I know the answer to that. Yes, you are. You're my keeper, I'm your keeper, and we are to be intercessors for one another. We are to exalt, edify one another and build each other up and pray for one another. We're in the same war, we're in the same battle, fighting the same devil. And so, number one, I will go out and fight, courage. Number two, I keep my father's sheep, I am an intercessor. And you might say, how does that help me to win a giant? It's just what I just said earlier. I got your back, you got mine. If I'm praying for you and you're praying for me, that devil has a whole lot less power over my life. Because I'm not just praying, God help me. You're praying, God help him. He needs help, you know. And you're praying for everybody here. And you're praying for other family members. And so God help us to be intercessors. If we're going to be giant killers, we need to be intercessors. Because two is better than one, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. Amen? And so together we stand. Together we have victory. Together, the endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. If we don't have unity, we don't have power. Amen? We need to be on the same mind, the same Spirit, and the same accord. They were in the upper room, and they were in the same accord, and it wasn't a Honda. They were in unity in the upper room when the Holy Spirit fell. And how many guys would just love to see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit? We want it, amen. We're hungry for it. I heard a really great black gospel song, and the lyric said, you provide the fire, and I'll provide the sacrifice. You know, the problem is we don't see the fire of God because we're not willing to put ourselves on the altar and say, Lord, you can have everything that I have and everything that I am. But when we become the sacrifice, the fire will fall. Amen. And so that was a footnote to this. It has nothing to do with it. Keeping the Father's sheep, we are to be intercessors. We are to pray for one another. We are to pray for one another. Can I say it again? We are to pray for one another. I need your prayers. You don't know what I go through on a daily basis. I don't know what you go through on a daily basis. What I go through isn't more important than what you go through, or vice versa. We need to pray for one another. Amen. Some of the greatest joys in my life have come when I start getting rid of my me for and no more and start thinking about other people's burdens and taking them to the Lord, and you feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit drop on you, because all of a sudden now you are not just thinking of yourself. And you know, the Bible says when you water others, yourself you're refreshed. And so we need to remember that God has called us to be intercessors. David said, I keep my Father's sheep. Hallelujah. Keeping the sheep. Number 3, verse 35, I go out after him. Well, when the devil messes with me, I really give it to him. What if he don't mess with you? You just sit there and play tiddlywinks? David charged the gates of hell. He said, I go out after him. He went after that bear. You know, the armor of God has no armor, Ephesians, breastplate of righteousness. Doesn't say anything about the back plate, does it? There's nothing on the back to protect you. You want protection, you need to charge the gates of hell. You need to keep facing the devil. You need to go out after him. Amen? When you hear that something happened to someone, oh, we need to pray for them. No, charge the gates of hell for them. Attack the devil. You devil. You mess with my friend, you mess with me. You know, do a little Clint Eastwood, go ahead, make my day, right? Right? We want to be the kind of Christians that when we wake up in the morning, the devil says, oh Lord, he's up again. He's on his feet. You know, we don't want to be passive, we want to be aggressive. The kingdom of God, I said it earlier, the kingdom of God suffers violence, the violent take it by force. Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He didn't stay in one place. He went about doing good. He attacked the gates of hell. He said the gates of hell won't prevail against you. There's nothing to be afraid of. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? And so he said, I go out after him. He charged the gates of hell, number 3. So number 1, I go out in a fight, courage. Number 2, I keep my Father's sheep, intercession. Number 3, I go out after him, charge the gates of hell. Number 4, verse 35, I deliver them out of his mouth. We need to be soul winners. And I tell you, I've been discouraged in this area, because you try to talk to someone, and I know Rick has mentioned the same thing. You try to talk to someone, nobody wants to hear it. Nobody, they just shut you down, you know what? But it's not our job to save them, it's our job to tell them, amen? Jesus said that you go out and you tell them, before you get done getting every area that God's given you, the Lord will come back again. Problem is, we don't see it that way. We do it once, and then we go, oh, well, you know, what's the point? They're not going to hear. And that one, what's the point, may be the one person who needs to hear. I remember years ago when I was in the Air Force in Abilene, Texas, there was this young airman who worked for the base DA, that's not district attorney, documentation administrator. This is the people that went around and inspected your files and all this stuff. And he was raised Catholic. His last name was Ramirez. A lot of the Hispanic people in that area are Catholic, and that's all they ever know. You don't blame them for that. That's all they know. It's the only light they have, right? And his wife left him, and he had a little boy, and he was hurting. And, you know, before I even thought about what I was saying over the phone to him, I said, Mark, you need to get in a Bible-believing church and get saved, man, and God can help you. Now, that was the Lord, because I'm not normally that bold, and, you know, you don't want to offend someone's religion. That's how you think. But, you know, after it came out of my mouth, the next thing I know, the guy's going to church with me and get saved, because someone had the audacity, and it was the Lord, not me, to tell it like it is. Amen? Hallelujah. We need to be soul winners. We need to win souls. He that winneth souls is wise, the Bible says. You're praying for wisdom? You want more wisdom? Win souls. Because he that wins souls is wise. And you know what? a story that's seldom told, and the story of the sinking of the Titanic is the story of the young man who was the Christian who is swimming in that bitter cold water as fast as he can, to all these people's heads bobbing up and down, saying, "You're not going to make it much longer. You're going to die. You need to accept Jesus Christ." And so talk about a soul winner to the very end. And you know what? We should, when we see people on the street, we should recognize they are no different than those icy cold people in the oceans that were hours from death or less than that. Now, we don't know when they're going to die, but they're in the same state, and we should have the same passion as that guy on the Titanic sinking, and we should just go from person to person and remind them, you don't have much time. If you don't know Jesus, you better know him now. And I tell you, if we're as late as we are, and I believe we are, you know me, if we're as late as we are, those people could be months from death. Because when the Great Tribulation starts, millions upon millions are going to die. And it may be too late to tell them then. So God help us to be soul winners. Number five. He said, "I caught it, and I struck it, and I killed it." Have you ever seen a woman scared of a mouse or a spider? I have seen spiders smacked so many times that you could not find one leg when that woman got through with that spider. I mean, we're talking whack, 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 whack. Okay, it's dead, it's dead, it's dead. I caught it, I struck it, I killed it. We don't take enemies. We don't take captives. Amen. There is no demon you can redeem. There is no devil that you can redeem. We need to play for keeps. We need to be victorious over our enemies. Sometimes we win a battle and lose the war. We need to play to keep. Paul said, "Not as one who just beats the air. I run to finish and get the prize." We need to have that kind of mentality. I'm not just in this to play church or to just look spiritual. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. There is an enemy in my soul, and I'm not playing games with him. I'm killing him. I'm going to take him out. It's him or me, and he wants to take me out. Should I have any less attitude toward him than that? Lying devil should have killed me when he had me, but it's too late now. I've got him in my crosshairs for a change. I'm taking him down. He's messed with me enough. He's messed with my family enough. He's messed with my church family enough. He's in trouble, boy, because I got a room full of giant killers this morning. Amen? Praise the Lord. 911, that's right. So I'm victorious over my enemies. David was victorious over his enemies. This is a David story. I want to be like David, don't you? At least the good parts. I want to be like David. I want to be a giant killer. When I used to do the story of David and Goliath, I used to take, remember those styrofoam wig heads? I used to take those and I'd pin some hair on it and I'd paint some blood on it and I'd have it down behind something. And when I got to the part after he cut the head off, I'd grab that by the hair and I'd go, "Ah!" All them kids, "Ah!" You know. I want to have the devil's head in my hand. Amen. I'm in it for the victory. I'm not here to play church. I'm going to win. Praise the Lord. I caught it. I struck it. I killed it. I'm not out to wound the devil. I'm out to kill him. R.W. Shambach said, "You got a message for the devil? Write it on your shoe." Because that's where he belongs. Under our feet, right? So I'm victorious over my enemies. Number 36. This is a good one. If you forget all of them, remember this one, number 36. He said, he called his enemy an uncircumcised Philistine. I am in a covenant relationship with God. The blood. See, in the Old Testament, the covenant with Abraham was circumcision. So all of the Jews that we're circumcised, we're in a covenant relationship with God. That was the covenant that God established with Abraham, and they were circumcised. And when he said, this uncircumcised Philistine has nothing on me, because he knew he's not in covenant with God. Now think about it. If you're in covenant with God, then it's God's reputation if you fail. In fact, that should boost your confidence. And though we are not in the Old Testament circumcision, Jesus said, this is the new covenant in my, come on guys, blood. Blood, say it. That's the only way you get into heaven. Blood, 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 blood. It's the blood. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. That's my covenant, is the blood of Jesus Christ. The devil will come to you and say, well, you ain't no giant killer. Look what you did last week. Blood! I'm in covenant with God. If I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. How could he do that? The blood. I'm in a covenant relationship with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. I am in a covenant relationship with God, and that covenant is firm, and it's a one-sided covenant. All I have to do is believe. He didn't say believe and be done, believe and do this, believe and cast out. He said, just believe. For God so loved, whosoever believes shall have everlasting life. That's good news. I'm in covenant relationship with God, and my enemy is not. David's giant was an uncircumcised Philistine. The devil is an unblood Philistine. He does not have the blood. I have the blood. He is totally exposed. I am covered over by the blood. When God sees the devil, he sees the enemy. When God sees me, he sees Jesus through the blood. I'm in covenant with God through the blood. And no weapon formed against me can prosper. I rush the gates of hell. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No enemy has power over me. I have power over the devil, not because I am strong, not because I am smart, not because I am wise, but because of the blood. Hallelujah is right. So number one, I'll go out and fight. Courage. Number two, I'll keep my father's sheep intercessor. Number three, I go out after him. I charge the gates of hell. Number four, I deliver them out of his mouth. I'm a soul winner. Number five, I caught, I struck, I killed. I'm victorious over my enemies. And number six, he's an uncircumcised Philistine, and I am in a covenant relationship with God, the blood. Finally, number seven, verse 37, he said, he will deliver me. He will. Now this is the ultimate confession. He will deliver me. He will deliver me. You see, number seven, I recognize that the battle is really the Lord's. It's the Lord's. And though I have the attitude of a warrior, though I go through the motions of a warrior, you know, in Solomon's temple, those big pillars, they were there as ornaments. They didn't hold anything up. There was a gap. You know, all we do is we go through the motions to look good, but God is doing the battles. I'm not really doing anything. I'm just confessing. I'm confessing. Amen? I'm just confessing. He will deliver me. He will deliver me. Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? The doctor said, you're going blind. What are you going to do? He will deliver me. You know, whose report are we going to believe? I'll believe the report of the Lord. He will deliver me. God is good. Amen. I was young, now I'm old. I was skinny, now I'm a little fatter. I can talk about myself. I don't care. You talk about me, it's another story. No, I'm just kidding. I'm glad this morning. I'm glad this morning that we have the Word of God to remind us of what giant killers look like. Now, we can all shout because, you know, we're on the mountaintop in church. It's Tuesday night and Thursday morning when the valley is and when the devil starts whispering in your ear all those lies. And so, you know, take these things, stick them on your refrigerator, put them on your mirror, ladies, when you're putting on your makeup, or men while you're shaving. Remind yourself. Meditate on. The Bible says we're to meditate on these things. Amen. You don't become a giant killer without a history. David said, I defeated the bear and I defeated the lion, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of those. You've got to develop that. And it don't get developed by just a Sunday morning sermon. It gets developed by meditating on the Word of God and by confessing. This is called Confessions of a Giant Killer, not Sermon about a Giant Killer. This is called Confessions of a Giant Killer because it's what we say, not what we think, not what the pastor said on Sunday morning. It's what you say on Tuesday and Thursday and Friday night and Saturday morning when you have an argument with a friend, when you have an ache or a pain or a headache or a backache, or the doctor gives you a bad report. You tell him, I have courage and I'm an intercessor and I charge the gates of hell. I'm a soul winner. I'm victorious over my enemy. I'm in a covenant, blood covenant relationship, and I recognize the battle is the Lord's and He will deliver me. Amen. Come on up, Nola. He will deliver me. I said He will deliver me. Can we say that together? Does anybody want to say that with me? Is anybody awake yet this morning? He will deliver me. Amen. The Lord is my source. The Lord is the source of my income. The Lord is the source of my blessings. The Lord is the source of my joy, the source of my peace. When I don't have peace, it's not the Lord's fault, it's my fault. It's really not the devil's fault, because I have to confess with my mouth. Amen. How do you get saved? Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead and you'll be saved, right? Everything we get comes through confession and faith. Everything that we have comes through confession and faith. Everything we'll ever be comes from confession and faith in our heart. Amen. And so if we want to be giant killers, there is no prerequisite to be a giant killer. Well, you don't have the right pedigree to be a giant killer. You come from the wrong side of the tracks to be a giant killer. No, I can be a giant killer as soon as I begin put faith to work with my confession. A giant killer wins the battle, I said it at the beginning, with his tongue long before he swings the sword. It is the power of confession. It releases the power of God in the realms of darkness, and Satan will never win when we confess who we are in Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank You today that it is not the smartest, it is not the strongest, it is not the wisest. You chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. We are jars of clay, and there's nothing in us that makes us great short of You. But because we know who we are in Christ, because we know what You've called us to be, and we know that whatever we face in the week to come, we can face it as a giant killer if we will not cast away our confidence, which has great recompense of reward. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Oh, let the Son of God enfold you with His Spirit and His love. Let Him fill your life and satisfy your soul. Upon your life and make you whole.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Give someone a hug before you go.